Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk about the Fredericksburg SPCA this morning. A lot of energy in the room, and we're going to talk about the SPCA with Ellie Names, Von Young, and Melanie Johnson here this morning. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for getting up and coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Everyone is so enthusiastic, and I look forward to this. I just found out just minutes ago that the Fredericksburg SPCA is 80 years old today.
Yeah. Or
this year.
This year marks the 80th anniversary of our opening. And so, yeah, we've been serving the public for 80 years in Fredericksburg. And so we're super excited about this year and all of the exciting events and sort of new initiatives and new things happening.
That is really exciting, just to know that that you've been there doing all of that, and you all have aged really well. We never have guessed you're 80. But really, you think about just the history, and it's exciting to work at a place like that that's got that kind of history and dedication to the community.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, September 3rd, 1943 will be the opening day of the Fredericksburg SPCA, and it's moved a couple locations in Fredericksburg now. So we are at the Courthouse Road location, and we have that front building that we just acquired last year thanks to Joe and Mary Wilson, mm-hmm. and so we're using that for, like Melanie said, our new initiatives. Our humane education program is growing and growing, so we're excited.
I first knew the SPCA, and I think it was over on William Street for years, and then you moved. But so are you going to be, I guess, you've got things, or you're looking at probably having some kind of events this year.
Yeah, so we have a whole calendar full of events, everything from an annual kickball tournament and golf tournament. Our big event, Furball, is going to be August 26th, so everyone can mark that in their calendar. More details to come. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've got a lot of great events that we're working with some community partners on, and a lot of other developments within the shelter itself with the clinic and things like that. And I can let Allie talk more about things that are happening in the shelter.
Yeah, so gosh, what's happening at the shelter? We have established some new relationships lately. So we just helped the Humane Society of the United States bringing in a couple of our animals to our facility as late as last week. Today, we're heading over to the Louisa County Shelter. So as far as like rescue partners go, we're bringing in all kinds of animals. Or, you know, the animals also find us. We had two dogs show up at our door, Vaughn, a month ago, Elvis, and
four dogs.
Well, but so they were
two,
separate.
Yeah, two, but four, really.
Four total dogs, though, that came in needing a huge amount of medical care. Elvis, for example, basically probably shouldn't have even still been alive at that point when he came to us.
Yeah, our veterinary team was extraordinarily surprised. So Elvis came to us roughly a month ago.
Okay.
And he actually has a Facebook fundraiser that's out right now. I released it this morning where we talk a little bit about him. He was one of the two dogs that Ellie mentioned that came to us. He was severely emaciated. Now, these dogs not only were emaciated, they came to us, some of them Lyme positive, Ehrlichia positive, heartworm positive. Luckily, Elvis was, if we can say that, was only Lyme positive. However, his red blood cell count, our medical team was looking for it to fall roughly around between five and six. He came in with a 0.99 red blood cell count. So, yeah, we gave him an emergency blood transfusion with one of our hero dogs, George, who is the personal dog of our clinic director, Holly. So we were kind of waiting. It was touch and go. We were waiting to see if he, you know, pulled through. There were a lot of like sleepless nights for us. So, and he is doing amazing. He has put on some weight. He comes and he hangs out with me in my office. So, you know, I've been able to bathe him, put him in some cute pajamas, take some cute photos of him, and really just see his personality start to come to life as he comes back to life. However, these kind of cases for us are, you know, we are a nonprofit and we only have a certain amount in our budget line for emergency medical cases.
Right.
So four all at once was a lot for us. And so we did release that Facebook fundraiser. So if anyone wants to, you know, help us donate to care of animals like Elvis, like, we would be more than appreciative if you want to hit up our Facebook page or our website for that. Just going on and seeing those photos and seeing what we do behind the scenes, because we don't often put that kind of stuff out. You know, we do a lot of stuff behind the scenes medically, behaviorally. We have a behavior team now. Our animal care team is just absolutely wonderful, and the amount of enrichment just from intake to adoption that goes into these animals. Like, I wish I could just follow our team around on, like, Facebook Live every day and just document what they do, because I just think it's so cool.
And it's really cool because we all kind of really act as a really strong, cohesive team. You know, Vaughn mentioned that Elvis went and hung out with her in her office. Yesterday, I had this new dog, Noodle, hanging out with mm-hmm. me. Melanie had a dog named Bex in her office. Mm-hmm. So it might seem small, but we all, you know, while we try to get our real jobs done, we also try to have the dogs in there with us or the cats in there with us to give them a little bit of extra TLC
right.
if they're not in a foster home. So, I don't know. It's fun.
It just shows the passion you all have.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
and how this is more than just a job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you just, there's such care for all of these animals.
Yeah, I mean, I have kind of recently come on board, and it's amazing to see how dedicated everybody on staff is to what they do. And you can tell that everyone who works at the Fredericksburg SPCA is super passionate about, you know, caring for our animals. And I think the programs that we have, you know, it just really speaks volumes about the team that we have, I think, and their passion for caring for our community's most vulnerable animals.
It's amazing. Just, I mean, I know the three of you and in a few others, but you all, everyone there is just, you know, there's this, that kind of passion throughout, and that's why the animals are in such good care, and you really work to get them either fostered or just get them to a family.
Yeah, and on that same note, we actually officially opened the doors back up starting December, but we kind of announced it in January, so people can kind of walk in. It's more like it how it was pre-pandemic,
mm-hmm.
so people can walk on in and help themselves to the kitty rooms and read to them or visit with them or take one home, take them all home, whatever you want to do. And, you know, with the dogs, people can walk through, and our matchmakers are on site. We've got an amazing team of four matchmakers right now who will kind of walk you through their personalities, introduce your children to them, you know, whatever someone has in their family. We can kind of make sure that we match your family to that animal. So we're really excited to have the doors open. We've even seen adoption numbers go up. So we love to see that, especially this time of year. It's typically our slowest period. And Lord knows all of our rescue partners really need our help right now, you know, pulling in as many animals as we can manage.
Quick break coming up, but we're going to talk more about the Fredericksburg SPCA. FredSPCA.org is the website. Also, check out the Facebook page for all kinds of great stuff there. Allie Names, Vaughn Young, and Melanie Johnson here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg SPCA, our focus this morning with Melanie Johnson, Vaughn Young, and Allie Names here this morning. Allie, we'll talk a little about, Allie's the interim executive director with the Fredericksburg SPCA. Talk about the importance of donating, because Vaughn talked about just the things come up and you want to be able to help some of these animals. Getting the community involved to be regular donors is really important, and we're lucky to have you guys.
Yeah, it's super important to continue funding the work that we do. It allows us to take dogs like Elvis or Noodle, who we just got, or we took another dog in named Wilma. So, you know, on average, just so people are aware, we have a carrying capacity of about 180 to 200 animals at any given time. So when you walk in the building or when you look in our website, it may not seem like we have that many animals. But, you know, 180 to 200 animals, it really adds up financially. And that's just like on a regular day to day. So, you know, on an annual basis, we probably bring in about anywhere between 1,500 and 1,600 animals. So, you know, to get them all spayed and neutered, to get them all vaccinated, fed, cared for, the staff time, even just the building, the heat, you know, we need the building to be warm right now. I think it's really hard for people sometimes to break down all of the small pieces that go into the operation that we run. But it really does. It takes a village. And so, you know, everybody's donations, whether it's $1 to $5 to $100, everything counts. Everything matters. And we couldn't do the work that we do without the support of our community. So to our current donors, we really appreciate you.
Yeah. And just to piggyback off that, the amount of support we received this year for like our giving trees around Fredericksburg, mm-hmm. from the businesses, the Virginia Veterinary Centers, all the vet offices that they set up at, the amount of food donations and supply donations, we are so grateful for that. We can't even begin to like tip the iceberg on our gratitude, because we really, really, really needed that. And everything, every can that is donated, you know, we've had just a baggie of food donated, like all of that, it matters, from, you know, our pet pantry that goes directly back into serving the community through our People Empowered Through Support program, or to feeding the animals, the homeless animals at our shelter. Like, we are so grateful to current donors, anyone monetary and supply wise. Like, thank you guys.
Well, and it is the kind of thing too that if you've got animals and you're going out and you're buying for them, you can buy extra.
Absolutely.
And drop it by the shelter.
Absolutely.
Grab us some pill pockets, some bones, some squeaky toys, whatever.
Yeah, and you can always find a list of supplies that we might need on our website.
Okay.
You can click on the donate button in the top right of the page, and it gives you the opportunity to give a financial contribution, or it generates a list of items that are on our wish list that we might need in the shelter, and that kind of will change depending on seasons, like Vaughn mentioned, you know, time of year, needs change, but it also gives you an opportunity to see, like, oh, maybe I have some items around the house that could be donated. Yeah. You know, we do take blankets and towels and that sort of thing, so definitely check out that page on our website.
I can't imagine how many towels you would go through.
A lot.
So many.
I just can't imagine. And how much washing has to be done and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and it does go to a direct link to our Amazon wish list as well.
Okay.
And a big question, I know Melanie gets this a lot, is do we actually get the Amazon donations?
And we do.
Yes, we do. And thank you to whoever our mail guy is, who comes all the time and drops all those wonderful boxes you send off. And so, yes, we do get your Amazon donations. It comes directly to us.
And what a big thing that is for the community to be able to give in whatever way. But like you say, you just so many things are going on, and whether it's the day-to-day things you're expecting, or you drive up and unfortunately someone's dropped things off. I mean, you just never know.
Yeah, and we rely a lot on our volunteers. We have an amazing volunteer corps. Yeah, and they deserve a huge shout out. They do. I mean, it's amazing to see sort of like the dedication of our volunteers who will come in and like work an 8-hour day.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible. So we're super grateful for everything that they do, from, like you said, helping with laundry and that sort of thing, to, you know, walking the animals or sorting donations. You know, if you're interested in, you know, maybe you don't have the capacity to give right now, but you could give your time. That's another amazing way to help us. And we're super grateful for all of our volunteers.
Awesome. So if someone's interested in volunteering, just go to fredspca.org and go from there.
Yep. There's a form and everything, and we'll get you set up with the orientation, and you can come in. And I was very privileged in being able to get a quick glimpse yesterday. It was adorable. One of our expert dog walkers, Andrew, had one of our new arrivals who was so nervous over in the grass. And like, I just sat on the bench just like chilling there and watching them like love on each other. And I don't know, moments like that are just so heartwarming and wonderful and special. And
I love it. And our not only our volunteer team, but our foster team, too.
Yeah.
They are all volunteers, and fostering is, you know, it's really easy with us, too. Just like the volunteers, you just register, and then you'll get an onboarding email. But the fosters, they foster anything from, like, you know, kittens that need to be bottle fed, puppies, older dogs, or animals that don't do well in the shelter, like cats. Mm-hmm. Right now, we've got a crew of puppies being fostered. They're waiting, you know, to get big and strong for spay, neuter, and vaccines. And they'll be going out for adoption probably after our Valentine's Day puppy party raffle. Yeah, so we're raffling off our classic Valentine's Day puppy party. So right after that, they'll be going for adoption. But the Valentine's Day puppy party is...
Talk about that, yes.
Yeah, something we've been doing. I'm actually really excited about
it. I thought so. I recognize the name, but I can't remember how it goes.
So every year we'll bring this back. Well, you know, every year that we haven't been in lockdown, but we brought it back this year. And what it is a beautiful way to help us raise money to go back to our mission to help us save more puppies. But you can buy a raffle ticket for $5 or $100 for $100. And the winner will get to choose between bringing the puppies, having us bring the puppies to their place of work to throw a kind of like a spread the love thank you holiday party for their staff.
How fun
or
is that?
You can, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want a private puppy party for just you and your loved ones, you can opt to have it in our community room. And so we'll accommodate that. So, yeah, that can be found. Link can be found on our Facebook page for that, too. And we're about to drop the link in our monthly scoop that goes out. So register for our newsletter if you haven't.
A puppy party.
A private puppy party. Yeah, so it's basically you and just all the puppies.
What's not to love?
And whoever you choose. So you can have it be like just you and one person, or like you and your whole staff. So
I know people that love just coming over and doing the walking, and then people that foster. People, it's interesting. So many people that I know foster have a lot of animals because they get really attached to some of these animals.
Well, and honestly, they have been so vital. I know one of the animals that we pulled this past year was named Yuka, and she came to us blind and diabetic. And so that kind of an animal, she literally cannot stay in the building because mm-hmm. cats that receive insulin shots, they have to get them every 12 hours. So we don't necessarily have staff there 24 hours a day to continue monitoring her blood sugar levels and giving her these shots. So, I mean, we were really fortunate to be able to have this incredible foster that stepped up. And the really great thing was when this one foster went on vacation, then another foster who actually had diabetes as well stepped in to give her insulin shots. So just seeing the community, not just at the volunteer level, but at the foster level as well, I mean, it allows us to continue doing the work that we do. So,
yeah. And to your point, Ted, like how our fosters have other animals, and that's not a barrier for fostering. Sometimes that's actually needed.
Yeah.
Elvis, for example, we're actually looking for a foster for him, but we want him to go into a home with a confident dog, because he's a little scared and shut down right now.
Okay. But that helps them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When our behavior coordinator paired him up with another confident dog at the shelter, oh my gosh, his little nubby tail was just going and going and going. And so, like, he really comes out of his shell. So having other animals in the home doesn't necessarily mean you can't foster with us. Our foster coordinator will, you know, give you all of the tools you need for slow introductions. We'll do meet and greets at the shelter with staff and your resident dogs, and give you, you know, tips on slow integration or separation.
Well, that's the thing. As you talk about this, Fawn, you really make it easy. I mean, you don't just grab an animal and, you know, here's what you're going to foster. You make sure that the animals fit the home, the personality, the situation they're going to go into.
Yeah, we definitely try. And animals will come to us with not a lot of information, right? And people are always looking for, okay, is that dog good with cats, kids, and other dogs? That's what we get
there. Yeah.
And we, honestly, we don't know until they are exposed to cats, kids, and other dogs.
Yeah.
And so we do our best at the shelter where, you know, our animal care team, our behavior team, they'll run doggy play groups. And then everybody puts their notes into – you know, our system so we can see. So our volunteer dog walkers will have notes put in from staff and other staff members. You know, if a dog comes into my office, then I'm putting notes in on what I've, you know, seen. So we try and pair them, but our foster team is really where we learn a lot about these animals. So, and I say foster team, and when I'm saying teams, we're basically departments of one. So it's one foster coordinator, one behavior coordinator. So we really just try our best to help support everybody out, and having that little bits of information from every single staff member, every volunteer, every foster that's interacted, we're putting all those notes in because then our matchmaker team can go in and see, okay, this dog has been around cats, this dog has been around kids or not, and try and make those really, really, you know, solid matches. So it's kind of beautiful to see it from intake to adoption, how everybody just kind of has a hand in it.
Yeah, no, and aren't you glad that we've gotten past all the COVID stuff?
Oh,
because
yeah.
In the past, and I haven't been able to do much with the Fredericksburg SPCA just because of COVID. These shows we've done have been very different because you had to set up times or you couldn't do this and that. Just to be able to open back up is great for everyone.
We're
animals
really
included.
Excited about having the adoption floor back open. It's open from Tuesday to Saturday, kind of like it was before. So we're closed Sunday, Monday, but 12 to 6, you can just walk on in, sign in. Like Allie said, go hang out with the cats or ask to meet a dog. The cats are really low barrier. Allie was mentioning that we have some books there, so a lot of kids will come in with their parents and practice reading to the cats because they're very non-judgmental audience, right? And then, so, you know, we'll have kids that are a bit younger, too young for our humane ed program, come in and do that and, you know, just learn how to interact with cats, give them some great interactions. So that also goes for donations. We still have the donation rack set outside the doors just for anyone who doesn't feel comfortable coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But feel free to come on in, talk with staff. Our clinic, you know, is open by appointment still, but we have so many different things going on. We're just excited to have the building back open where people can come and enjoy and volunteers can walk in, and it's pretty great.
We're going to take a break and come back, and we'll talk about the clinic and some other things going on. Great stuff this morning with the Fredericksburg SPCA, 80 years old this year, fredspca.org, the website. Also, check them out on Facebook. Von Young, Melanie Johnson, Allie Names here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Fredericksburg SPCA, our focus this morning with Von Young, Allie Names, and Melanie Johnson here this morning to talk about the work of the Fredericksburg SPCA. FredSPCA.org. Also check out their Facebook page. Lots of current stuff, and we'll talk about all that before we get out of here this morning. One of the things that I don't think people really understand, Von, is the Community Medical Center. So much stuff is open to the community and available, and it has really been, and it hasn't been there that long, has really been a great thing for the community.
Yeah, we have our Fred SPCA Lock Community Medical Center, and it is our own little veterinary office from the Fredericksburg SPCA. We have a lot of people don't understand that, you know, it's not just shelter animals that our medical team serves. We are open to the public. So we have sick and wellness visits. We have dental extractions. We have dental cleanings. We have surgeries. Our clinic director will bring in an orthopedic surgeon to do like CCLs. TPLOs, I believe. And so definitely check our website out, fredspca.org/clinic. But what is really cool is, you know, we're pretty booked up for spay-neuter surgery, or sorry, we're pretty booked up for sick and wellness surgeries.
Okay.
But we just opened up our February books for spay-neuter surgeries as well as dental. February is a veterinary dental awareness month. So our clinic is offering 10% off of baseline dentals. So if you do want to schedule a consultation for a dental exam, please just email medical@fredspca.org. So yeah, we're fully open and operational to the public. We have an x-ray machine, we have ultrasound, we have new exam rooms. We did a bit of construction while we were closed during the pandemic. So we did expand one side of our building.
Oh, okay.
A few walls, yeah. And we have exam rooms over on one side. We have a new surgical suite. So it is something that's been really, really, really cool to see develop. And now we just got to get the word out that, you know, we're open and operational for public animals.
No, it is. It's been a great addition to the community just to be able to offer that. And I mean, just something like you know, just like the teeth cleaning you talk about. Some of that stuff you don't always think about or you put off, but it's important. Just like any of us, animals need that too.
Yes, absolutely. The number one thing you can do for preventative care is brush your animals' teeth, but in between their regular dental checkups. But,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't understand about 70 to 80% of cats and dogs by the time they're three have some sort of periodontal disease. So prevention is key. But, you know, if you're finding yourself in need of an exam, consultation, perhaps cleaning or extractions, we can definitely help you with that.
And also the spay-neuter end of this is so important to the community.
So important. Yes.
I think I read so in our humane education, like during our summer camp, our humane educator Rachel does this activity, like how many kittens can one female cat have, and I think it's like 64 in a year because they can have litters like back to back to back.
Ooh.
And they can have what is it, 8 to I think 12 kittens per litter too.
Yeah, they can go in heat numerous times a year and have numerous litters. But it's, you know, that's a compounded one cat having babies with another cat, and then those babies having babies and having babies and having babies.
No, it's insane. And like we see it. We took in over 400 kittens last year alone.
400?
Yes. And we typically stay pretty much within our community. So that's, you know, Spotsylvania, city of Fredericksburg, people finding kittens in storm drains and in yards and all over the place. So, that spay and neuter is so important. And we actually just brought on a new vet in December. And let me tell you, this lady is incredible. She is such an amazing vet, and her surgery sites are so small and so clean. Yeah. And, I mean, she's just incredible. So we're really proud to have her on our team, too.
Yeah, and February is also Spay-Neuter Awareness Month. So that is a huge thing we want to get ahead of kitten season.
Yes.
Prevention, spay, please. Maybe we'll come back for a kitten season talk with you and, you know, what to do with like found kittens and all of that.
Yes, let's do that.
Cause yeah, kittens are the most vulnerable animal in animal sheltering and not a lot of people know that. So,
and there are different areas. I know in the past that there are still areas or problem with feral cats.
Yeah.
In the air. I know in the past we've talked about that.
Absolutely. We truly don't do too much with that, but what we try to do is really support the organizations that do that.
Yeah.
So we work pretty closely with like Operation Hood, and we're working with other like municipal shelters as well that have higher feral cat populations, just so we can help with that, you know, initial spay-neuter so that they don't create these giant feral colonies that are completely unmanageable.
Fredericksburg SPCA, our focus this morning with Allie Names, Von Young, and Melanie Johnson. I think it was towards the end of last year, you guys sent me some fantastic pictures. You were involved in, I can't remember where the animals were coming from, but they got flown in, and the Fredericksburg SPCA was one of, I think you and maybe Richmond and somebody else, really involved in taking in some animals from some area that had storms or something. I can only remember bits and pieces. And Melanie, you and Vaughn sent me a lot of pictures.
Yeah, so two storms during hurricane season, we helped We helped with the transport for Puerto Rico, the hurricane that affected Puerto Rico and Florida. And so, like Ali mentioned, we have tons of partners like HSUS, Petco Love Foundation.
Best Friends,
yep, network. And so anytime that we can support our partners with transports because of natural disasters or, you know, the Envigo Beagle situation. Also, last year we assisted with.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so there's always different ways that we can help our partners, and we try as much as we can. So
that's just it's another way that you're really involved in the community and in helping animals. Ultimately.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's also really important to remember that we are the Fredericksburg SPCA and we do support our region, but through these partnerships we're able to support animals in other counties, mm-hmm. In the state, and honestly across the country. And I think that's that says a lot about the team and sort of our capacity for care, from the clinic side to, you know, sheltering the animals and...
Oh my gosh, behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of those dogs that kind of go through situations like that, I mean, it's so stressful. Imagine like a person being completely relocated from their home due to a natural disaster. So a lot of these dogs that we get typically have like Lyme disease, heartworms, stuff like that. But
yeah.
Then in addition to that, they're dealing with, you know, being uprooted, losing their family potentially, or just the chaos of being on an airplane and then coming to a new facility and all these different people around them. So it's really hard for them to feel, you know, stable and situated in a place. So our behavior team is just incredible. And we've actually also really spruced up kind of our public side of the behavior program. So we are going to be in about 2 weeks releasing our new set of classes. We offer a basic beginner group class for those adult dogs that want to learn the basics like sit, down, stay, and then just basic socialization as well. We have our star puppy class, which is similar, but all designed for puppies. We have our puppy socials. We're bringing back our intermediate class where we work on building upon the skills set in the beginner class. So a lot of really great stuff to kind of also help those current pet owners continue to allow their animals to like really thrive and learn new skills and become a really well-adjusted pet in their new home.
Yeah, and if you don't know where your dog falls, like where your owned pet falls in that, you can schedule a 30-minute behavior consult for free with our behavior coordinator. So, yeah. Because we do offer the AKC Star Puppy. We
yep.
offer Canine Good Citizen certification.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different options. So you can definitely, and even if you have just a behavior question, like your dog is jumping up on your kids constantly and you don't know what to do, schedule a consult with her. Beth is her name. And just go to our website, fredspca.org/behavior, to do that. Schedule a consult and she can best direct you in what class to take.
I have a family member who has a dog that needs to take a lot of those classes.
Don't we all?
There's stories I could tell. I didn't know. Here, I didn't know you offered classes like that.
Yeah, that's something that we've really worked on in the last year because we saw quite a few kind of teenage dogs, so anywhere between like 6 months and a year, sometimes would come back to our shelter or just, you know, be brought in, whether it be an owner surrender or intake. And, you know, be jumpy and mouthy and not no sit. And, you know, to them that might seem like great, normal, fun behaviors with their doggy pals. But in
yeah.
a home where there are children or other animals, you know, sometimes people need a little bit of help to kind of form a greater bond with their animal. And what better way than through training where
mm-hmm.
you can really have, you know, I mean, it sounds silly, but open communication with your animal.
Right. So many people just need to learn how, need to teach their animal the, you know, down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Just that. That would just
yeah.
solve so many problems.
The basics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if a person's just even thinking about wanting to and it sounds like you have all sorts of ways and things if a family could come in and kind of roam around and look at dogs and cats or bring your kids or, mm-hmm. and you work with people to make sure that they're going to get the right animal to suit their personality.
Yeah, I think Vaughn touched on that really well. We do our absolute best with the knowledge that we have.
Right.
And then the best part, in my opinion, about us is that we're low barrier. So whether it's foster or adoption or volunteer or any aspect, We try to make everything a conversation, so we don't want people to feel like they need to be doing a certain thing. You know, we just want to give all of the information, guide people the best that we can, and then let them make the best decisions that they're able to.
Yeah, and it is, you know, we are still a shelter. So if you come in, the dog area is going to be loud. The dogs are going to be, you know, in their kennels. It's going to be smelly. We are a shelter. So you can come in, you can look at the dogs. You can ask to meet them. You'll go outside, you'll meet them with staff in the play yards usually, or in the community room. But in situations like these, like, it can be overwhelming for people. So we do have other avenues. So if you want to, you know, see an animal and perhaps take it home, we have a 7-day foster to adopt period for animals 7 months and older to see if, you know, they gel in your home. You can also sign up if you're looking for something specific. You can sign up as a foster if you're not sure you're, you know, able to make the commitment for adoption. Mm-hmm. Sign up as a foster. You get an onboarding email right away with a link to the private Facebook group. Our Facebook, or our foster coordinator, posts every week on incoming transport. She'll post a walkthrough Wednesday. So you can, you know, see it from the digital side before even entering a shelter and seeing our needs and the dog's needs and, you know, connecting that way. You can foster. Fostering is a temporary way to give it, to save a life. You know, there's no 18-year commitment with that. And then if you do end up finding a really great fit, fosters do get the first chance at adoption as, you know, a perk of helping us save lives. So sure, that is always a good way. If, you know, you're a college kid or you're military, you can't necessarily make the commitment to adoption, and you do sign up as a volunteer, you can, you know, go through our volunteer dog walking training, and then you can come in and walk dogs whenever you want, and you're still getting that, you know, animal interaction. So we try and make an avenue for kind of at every stage of people's lives, because we've all been there where it's just not the time to adopt, right?
Right.
And you're going into a shelter, you want to save every animal, but, you know, saving the 1,800 animals that come through our door is probably not feasible for the place you live, you know, so you can't adopt all of them. So we have many, many, many different avenues. So for all stages of, you know, of life. And if you have kids and they're, you know, you're not sure how your kids will interact with animals, we have our humane education program that will, you know, they teach the basics of animal interaction. We have our youth workshops that fall on what, Spotsylvania school days off?
Mm-hmm. And City of Fredericksburg.
Yeah, and City of Fredericksburg. So they're a 1-day workshop. We have our junior volunteer program that happens 4 Saturdays out of the month. And we have our compassionate care camp. So from ages, you know, 6 to 9, we have sessions, and then 11 to 13. So we really have something for everyone.
Boy,
so,
you do, yeah.
Yeah, just visit our website. It's all on there. Hit us up.
FredSPCA.org. Because ultimately, you don't want to, you want it to work, and you don't want to have to, you don't want to have them bring an animal back.
Correct. Yeah, that's never our, you know, goal is to have an animal brought back, but we also don't kind of, you know, we don't condemn when one isn't a good fit, mm-hmm. because we would rather find that animal a better fit and
better
have
one.
That family, you know, find a better fit as well. We know that, you know, we place a lot of human emotions upon animals. So when an animal is brought back, the human is the one to kind of bear
yeah.
that most of the time. Whereas the dog, we kind of explain to the person, you know, the dog or the cat, it's a great shelter break. We know even more about that animal with the information they're giving. Hmm. So now we can make another fit. So it's definitely something that, you know, it's all good. We are here to try and make a happy ending to all stories.
Yeah.
So.
FredSPCA.org. FredSPCA.org. Also check them out on Facebook. Allie Names, Melanie Johnson, Von Young here this morning. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with the Fredericksburg SPCA. Allie Names, Von Young, and Melanie Johnson here. As far as donations and the need for that, Melanie, you're just telling me that you're working on something right now.
Yeah, so we're working with Topside Federal Credit Union. They've been a great partner of ours, and they're doing a match. So they're going to match up to $2,500 between now and the end of March. And so if you're interested in helping us reach our goal of $5,000 total, you can go to our website or Topside Federal Credit Union's website and make a donation, and that will that will count towards the match.
Match, okay. Yes. Those are always good things. I mean, that every little bit helps.
It does, yeah. And, you know, like we said, there's a ton of ways to get involved and to help support us. Everything from a recurring donation each month that you can set up on our website, to a one-time gift, to a sponsorship of one of our events, to being a foster or being a volunteer. You know, there's a ton of ways to get involved, and we just really encourage anyone who loves animals and would love to help support our mission to get involved.
I've always been impressed, Allie, with how you all, you really move the animals out if you can, and you, whether it's through fostering or adoption, and very aggressively get those animals somewhere where they're going to be, where they're not going to be just sitting at the shelter for a long time.
Our director of animal care, Ashley, has done an incredible job kind of figuring out plans for every single animal. So, you wouldn't necessarily maybe think about it, but the minute that animal comes in, we have a timeline, we have a plan. If the animal starts to show certain behaviors or medical concerns, then we get them scheduled to the clinic or the behavior coordinator, and then we have like a whole written plan. So it's really cool to see how strong our staff are as far as like communication, but also just plan making too, to make sure every animal has that next step lined up so that we get them just that much closer to their new family.
How exciting is it when you do see the match, when the matches just work and the animal is happy and the family is just fulfilled?
Best part of my day.
Yeah.
Hands down. Yeah.
A lot of happy tears.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It really is.
And to see the start to the finish, I mean, there's no better feeling. So.
And I never thought of it that way, Vaughn, about tears. I'm sure there are tears when some of these animals go.
Yeah, we all celebrate, and so it is, every single animal that comes to us is, you know, very much treated like they're our personal animals. Mm-hmm. And so when that, you know, really great match is made, when we see, you know, an animal who might have once been struggling in our care blossom and thrive, and especially getting those happy tales back from people. Like, if you've adopted from us and you want to send us photos and stories on how they're going and how it's going, I love it. Please DM us all the photos of your animals. We want to see them always.
Oh, I'm sure. Just to know of where they were and kind of forlorn when they come in, and to be making that family.
Yes, absolutely.
There's such a noticeable, like, visual change in the animals too. Like, we'll see an animal, I don't know, today in our office hanging out with us, and then 2 weeks later, even the animal's in their home, and just like, I don't know, the release in their face, they just look happy and relaxed, and their eyes aren't dilated, and they're just, I don't know, sleeping sometimes. Mm.
They're home.
Yeah, they're home.
They're home.
What a great way to describe it. Just that you can see it with the animal. That would that would be exciting. FredSPCA.org, again, is the website. All kinds of information there. And Vaughn, you talked about how you had put up on Facebook about these dogs and a GoFundMe and all of that. So check that out.
Yeah, not a GoFundMe. It's just a Facebook.
Facebook.
Can donate right on our button. Yeah,
okay.
Or you can go to our website, FredSPCA.org, and hit the donate button there. Yeah, we definitely, you know, see when these animals come in and we take on these heavy medical cases, and it really, you know, so, especially so early in our year, we only have a limited budget for that. So raising as much money as we possibly can to continue, you know, helping move our mission forward is definitely needed.
Good stuff. We'll get together next month and talk cats and go through that, because there's a whole show on cats. Allie Names, Melanie Johnson, Vanya, and thank you all for what you do. And again, FredSPCA.org. Thanks
for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.